Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hollywood Reimagined. This is episode 6. I am Tulia Ferraro, one of the hosts, and here is Fred, my co-host.
Hello,
Fred. There. Can you hear me? Okay, perfect. Hello. How are
Hi.
You doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. All good. Excited about this episode. I feel like we have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Definitely.
Interesting. I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And first, before we start, I want to remind again, I want to welcome all of our listeners. If you're listening to us now, or if you're going to listen to us later on Spotify or all the other platforms that we have available, just wanted to welcome you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in and like caring about what we have to say. Also, if you guys enjoy our episodes, if you guys enjoy what we have to say, what we talk about, and you want to support, there are different ways to do so. You can donate to directly on Blog Talk Studio or Blog Talk Radio. There's a link that you can go to, or just even by listening to us through Spotify and just making donations like that. We always appreciate those. It keeps us going and it keeps producing more episodes that you guys can listen to and possibly relate and learn from just our experiences.
Also, we have something to add to that. We have a new country listening to us now. I saw it today.
Mm.
Of course, we have U.S. and Italy, of course. That's to be expected.
Right.
And now we have added Pakistan.
Oh, that's super nice.
Yeah, so Pakistan's really listening to us now. That's nice.
That's crazy. That's insane. That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah,
okay, well,
the numbers, the numbers from Pakistan are actually higher than Italy, so they're listening quite a bit.
That's very good. Okay, I'm excited. But yeah, so if you guys can, if you guys want to, we always appreciate your support and just your help, again. So let's get into today's episode. We have a lot to talk about. I feel like we talked about a little bit of what this is or the topic that we're going to be talking about today a little bit in the past, but today we really want to dig in and talk and expand on the topic, which is pretty much what to do after you're done with your acting classes. Whether if you go to an acting school, you take some classes for a couple of weeks, you do a summer program, or you decide to do BFA and MFA or whatever you want to do, what to do next and how to approach the actual business once you're out there. And I think that in particular, we want to talk about how Cineplex Studios and Fred himself approach this type of decision or situation, or kind of like the state that a lot of actors find themselves in after they're done with their classes. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what's your opinion about this, Fred, or your approach, and then I can jump in, or just what was my experience with Cineplex Studios.
Well, actually a little bit of both. I think it'd be great. That way people can hear both sides of the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I discovered in doing web series, I discovered quite by accident there is a gap from mm-hmm. when people leave the acting school atmosphere and then they go on what I call endless auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And auditions after audition after audition. And a lot of it comes down to just, you know, they may be good for the part, they may look the part, whatever, but you know, the people look at the resume, you know, the cast director is like, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
You know, they have no experience or very little experience, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know, and so what you're giving them is you're giving them an excuse not to hire you.
Yeah.
You know, by doing that. And because when you go on a job, you want to eliminate any possible objections they have to hiring you. You know, mm-hmm. in any industry. It doesn't matter what it is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, would you go to school to be a pilot and come out of pilot school, you got your minimum hours required to get your license,
mm-hmm.
but you have no hours. You have no hours beyond school.
Right.
Chances are, even as desperate people are right now to hire pilots, you're not going to get hired. It's the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have the experience. How do you get the experience? Well, that's where I have some of my students come in at. We are that stepping stone for actors to gain experience to, you know, increase their credits on their IMDb page.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any other company in Hollywood that does what we do. They'll do demo reels for you, sure. They'll charge you, you know, anywhere from $300 on up for
right.
a demo reel. That's great. You have a demo reel. Again, you have no experience.
Right.
And so what we do is we bring actors on in the various projects, you know, about anywhere from six actors to about 15, depending upon the size of production, per project. And that project will last anywhere from 3 months to a year. And by the time they're done, you know, they have multiple episodes, under their belts. You know, they have something that they say, hey, you know what, it's done, it's been put out there, here it is, here's the link, you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's my footage, or here's my footage from it. And they'll go and look at the IMDb page and say, oh, wow, there are at least, you know, four or more episodes.
Right.
And that's better than nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, so that's why I really emphasize with actors that, you know, we are the place to go to for that stepping stone. Now, we're not for everybody. There are certain actors out there that do already have credits. You know, they have maybe a dozen or more credits. That's great. You know, we're not for them. They've already surpassed the level that we're at. You know, so we have people that will turn us down, you know, quite often. That's fine. But we are there for those who are in desperate need of help from people like us to give them that step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, let me ask you a question. I don't put you on the spot here, but.
Go ahead. I can take it.
When you came on board to do Journey.
Yeah.
How many credits did you have?
None. Absolutely none.
And how long have you been, how long were you at that point? That was a year ago. How long were you at that point? How long have you been auditioning?
Probably a solid like 6-7 months.
And how many auditions
right
did you did during that time?
How many what?
How many auditions did you do there during that time?
I don't even I can't count. But hundreds of auditions. Yeah, no, absolutely. I was and for me personally as well, I can't speak for everybody that's going to be listening to us, but me being an international student, I was in that period of time that's right after I completed my degree. So after I got my BFA, the school pretty much gives you what's called an OPT, which is pretty much like a temporary working permit where you get to put into practice what you learned and what you studied. It's kind of like our first chance to actually work in the States. And for me, to have the opportunities that you gave me at that point were much more than I could have asked for out of any other audition that I did. Because, again, I said, like, I'm not a formed actress yet. I don't think I ever will. Like, actors don't ever really stop, like, learning and growing, as we said before. But I was definitely not ready for the industry. So I feel like even though you obviously are in the industry, but as you were saying, having you and Cineplex Studios as kind of like a transition into what it feels like to be in the industry, but in a more protected and understanding and more like mentoring environment, more than, oh, we're your bosses now. This is what you have to do. If you don't do it right, then we're going to let you go, you know. There was never that much amount of pressure on my side. And I feel like that's also why I wanted to, I mean, I stuck around this entire time. I've been excited to do one project, two projects, helping you as an assistant director and you know, like doing all these things because I felt so in such a safe environment for me to learn and grow things and learn things that I've never even studied at school, you know, such a, like assistant directing, like I've never done that. Or the little bit that I learned about sound and doing all that, like they teach us what it is and that's a component of a movie set, but like I never done anything like that. So I feel like that's very true what you were saying before, that that's like not a thing that you see often, if not literally, as you said, at all in Hollywood right now, is somebody that's gonna kind of like guide you through that transition. And I'm really thankful that I got to meet you and what Cineplex Studio does in general, because I, for me especially, being again an international student with just such a limited period of time to learn and gain some credibility or IMDb credits that now I have thanks to you, was very, very helpful. I think that a lot more people should take their time to kind of do that. But for now, I'm just glad that you're doing it and that I happen to, you know, impress you maybe a little bit with my audition, and now that we get to work together. So that's
and going through the casting as well, and I've had other people in the past, you know, help me out with casting, and the first thing they say, it's so fascinating to be on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
Because you see things that people do that you cringe, like, oh, why they do that? Oh, wait, yeah, I did that too, you know?
Right.
But you never think about that when you're auditioning.
Right.
You're just doing the audition. You're not thinking about what they're looking at or thinking about. But when you walk around the table and you see from the other perspective what they're looking at, it changes your whole world.
Yeah.
And that's
for sure.
What I enjoy doing. I like exposing people to things that are there they not be aware of at the time.
Yeah. And I remember that reminded me of when we were shooting Journey, the first episode, and I remember you calling me and saying like, hey, come here, I want you to look at the auditions that I received for the role of Baxter that was my husband in the TV show. And I was like, wait, do I get to see this? Like, do I get to like actually like look and give an input? And I remember you just telling me, you know, like, first of all, somebody's going to play your, you know, your co-star or somebody that's going to be with you in the show, especially as your husband, like you told me, like, I want to have a say in that. And then again, as you were just mentioning, you were saying that it's important to also understand like what happens on the other side of just being an actor and submitting your audition. Like what are those people doing? Like, what do you get judged on? And I remember, obviously, I won't say any name, but I remember seeing some of the audition that were sent in that I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I would have done that. Or maybe like, ooh, that was really good, I'm going to sit for my next audition. And then eventually we came to an agreement on who we wanted to cast for the role of Baxter. But yeah, as you were saying, like, that's something that I never thought I would even get to like see or comprehend. So that was also, again, really, really helpful and something that I've never heard or seen done before. Sorry, that's all I wanted to say.
That's great. It's great. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I actually got that idea when I actually worked for the airlines. The CEO is the best CEO I've ever worked for ever. His name's Gordon Bethune. He's CEO for Continental Airlines. And this was back in the mid, late 90s. I worked for them. And he actually put out a book. It's still in print. I think you still got on Amazon. It's called From Worst to First.
Aw. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, in that book, it talks about how when he came on to Continental, they were facing a third bankruptcy, which was unheard of in the airline industry before. No airline has survived a third bankruptcy ever in history. And he, within a year, 12 months, turn the airline around, and they were actually making record profits on Wall Street.
Wow.
Within 12 months. And as a matter of fact, Wall Street called them the Cinderella of Wall Street. He called the airline
that.
And in his book, the reason I brought that up, because in his book, he says that if you're going to have success, you have to have something that can be measured. That's the first thing he said.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't measure it, how do you know how well or how bad you're doing?
Right.
You know, in this case, measurement being IMDb for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's our measurement. How good are we doing? How bad are we doing? Okay, the next thing you know, the next thing he says is, your team, even though they're specialized in certain areas, what happens when a person doesn't show up for work one day that
right.
is, you know, say, let's look at flight attendants, for example. Let's say a flight attendant not show up. You know, you have to have so many flight attendants. So you may be on a flight that you're just flying on that you're not working. And, hey, you know, is there any flight attendants on the flight? And they'll call you up. Say, hey, work the flight. And they'll put you in a position you never worked before. A different airplane
right.
even. You know, well, not necessarily a different airplane, but, you know, we have to be the
mm-hmm.
same type. But
yeah.
They would be in a position that they had never done before. But yet they were cross-trained. In initial training, they were cross-trained to do different types of airplanes.
Right.
Even though they don't fly that one often or ever. They are been trained. So training is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be cross-trained to step in case you're needed to do something. And he says that drives success.
Right.
He's like, and it's like customer service. You know, he's walking through a customer service center one day, and they put him to the test. They say, well, you know what? You said everything about being cross-trained, so here, take a phone call. You know, they're
right.
saying to the CEO, he goes,
yeah.
well, okay, I'll do it, but you guys better help me walk me through this because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, he sat
right.
down, he took the call, he talked to the customer, and they, you know, they told him what keys to push. And it's about cross-training utilization. And
mm-hmm.
when you're on a production like this, especially our small ones, you know, it helps when you know, oh, yeah, I can direct. Oh, yeah, I can be a script supervisor,
mm-hmm.
or I can help in line lighting,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case may be. And that creates value, especially
yeah.
before you get onto those big boy productions, what I call them.
Right.
And then you go back to just acting, because that's what they do. They just act.
Right.
But in order to get to that point, you need to go build up your credits. To build your credits, you're not going to start out, you know, typically on a big budget production. You're going to start out a small scale production. And I've had people also offer me, hey, I can help out. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, again, it's just about helping out where it's needed. And
yeah.
you make yourself more valuable by being knowledgeable in certain areas. You know, it may be just editing. You know how to edit.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, I open the door to people like yourself and say, hey, you know what? If there's anything you want to learn, you know, I have over 35
yeah.
years of experience. You
mm-hmm.
know, you go ahead and ask away. And, you know, we can teach you to do a certain area you want to, you know, you may not like it. That's fine. But at least you tried to, you know, see if you did like it.
Right. Absolutely. And that's also one thing that they taught us in school is that even when we're learning, like, from an actor point of view, like, they teach us so many different, like, methods and techniques. There are so many different, like, teachers that, like, taught or, like, came up with different acting methods. And they teach us, they try to teach us pretty much all of them. That doesn't mean that one method is better than the other. That doesn't mean that you need to like one method or the other one. It's just like these are all the tools that they're giving us that we can pick from, choose from. And because it's at the end of the day, like it's a business, but it's an art. So nobody's ever going to agree 100% on one thing or the other. Like, not everybody's going to like one thing other than the other. But again, as you were saying, like, as long as you put out some options, that's at least like one thing that I can be, okay, yeah, no, I definitely like that. I'm going to use that in the future. Or maybe that doesn't work for me. Let me go look or ask, like, if there's something else that maybe I can use. So, and mm-hmm. also before, when you were mentioning, right when you mentioned something about the lights, it reminded me of the last time that I was being your assistant director shooting for Believe. Remember that you were setting up the lights and you were asking me like, oh, do you want to do it? And I was like, well, I don't really know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to set them up. And I remember that you literally took like a good 10, 15 minutes to unpack everything, show me everything. And I would put together where to put the lights, how many lights you need, and like just the light in the back, the light in the front, the light like slightly at the side to like get the best, you know, lighting on the actor's face as possible. And again, like that's something that took you 10, 15 minutes during the entire, like, day of production. And that's something that now is just, you know, in my head. And now I can think, like, whenever I need, even, like, with as simple as a self-tape. Like, people now are sending out self-tape that literally look like little scenes from movies. Like, people are going insane with their self-tape. So if the least that I can do is knowing how to make my lighting good look the best, that's already something that I learned from you and that I can use in my everyday life, like just submitting self-tapes for auditions and stuff. So it's really everything is valuable. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing how I get a real kick out of the joy and seeing, like, not just your eyes, but other people's eyes as well just light up when they see something that they learn, like, oh, that's so cool. You know?
Yeah.
I guess it's kicked out of that because, you know, to me, it's second nature because I learned it so long ago.
Right.
I don't even get a second thought anymore, but I love teaching it to people that, you know, appreciate it and can use it in their everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I like to focus on is, you know, give people a glimpse into different aspects of production because that also helps them in their acting.
Right.
You know, just like doing like ADR, you know, coming back and, you know, we have, you know, the beast scene we shot with Believe, you know,
right.
We're actually going to reshoot that. I was thinking about doing ADR at first, but I think it can be shot better. So we decided to go ahead and reshoot it. But, you know, for ADR, we call in the actors in, and they basically have to lip sync their dialogue.
Right.
You know, and a lot of that, again, this is something a lot of actors have no experience in, or very mm-hmm. little, you know, that are at that stage in their careers. And that's why I, you know, like just open up new areas for them to look at, to explore.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, even if they don't like it, that's fine. Let's move on to something else and see if you like something else. You know, mm-hmm. no big deal. You know, it's just a matter of finding what you like, what you could also think that can help you with your career, what can help mm-hmm. you with your acting, what can help you with your self-tapes, like you mentioned. It's just, I think it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know, just like with the lighting thing, you know, there's a reason that the DP will tell you, you know, to have your mark here, here's your mark for there, and, you know, they mark up the tape on the floor for you to stand in, and mm-hmm. people just blindly do it, but they don't understand why they're doing it.
Right.
You know, and so you have the knowledge now, you know why, and
right.
you can give them that additional little extra something in your acting because you're more comfortable with what they're telling you to do.
Absolutely. It's the lighting. It's the focus. Last time that we were shooting, I wasn't hitting my mark right, and the camera wasn't focusing. So, again, that's something that if you get to practice and learn with somebody that's not going to yell at you and be mad at you and just, like, send you back to your trailer, then it's something that you slowly get used to, and you'll be, again, like, just more professional, more ready to go, and people are going to want to work with you because you already know all the basic stuff that you learned, not only in school when they were, like, kind of, like, theoretically, like, telling you, like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, and maybe do, like, a couple of, like short scene here, let's record this little bit right here, but then when you actually get on, like, a set, like we're doing, I really get to experience, like, oh, okay, so this is how much I need to put in order to make it easier for everybody else to do their job. So it's just a matter of, like, being prepared for whatever comes.
Right.
And again, not have somebody yelling at your face when you do mess up sometimes, because you're going to mess up. Again, how people tell you, hey, look, you messed up this time, it's what matters, I think, especially at the beginning when you're first starting. You don't want to be traumatized the first ever project that you do after you graduate from school or, like, finish your acting classes, for sure.
Oh, yeah. 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 We definitely covered a lot this week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always, fun. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, oh, my God, if I am going to bring my parents on set when they come and visit me, like, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to impress my dad especially so much because he's going to see me putting together sound, light, like, if you want me to help, obviously. But if I can, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, let me show off everything that I can do now on a set. I don't just know how to stand there and say my lines. Obviously, there's more to it. But I can, you know, do all this bunch of stuff that it's really fun and that, you know, it's very helpful on set. I'm also excited to, like, show my parents, for example, that I've never really seen this aspect of, like, the industry, show them everything that I learned so far.
Oh, yeah. And that's been a short year, too.
Yeah.
And you know, you start out as a lead actress as well. You know, so you got that responsibility too. You know, you carry the entire show, and everyone, all the cast members look to the leads. You know, to not only to carry the show, but also to set the tone of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's a lot of responsibility. I think that's as much as a director does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even like you were saying before, I remember about editing, I'm pretty sure you showed me how you, like, the editing process that you use, or like how you edit some certain, like, projects, or even showed me some previews of how the episode is going to look like. And I think that's all really, really cool. Like, something that you wouldn't get anywhere else. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even do Zoom editing sessions for people who want to learn.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like that's really, like, unheard of, and that should be a thing that happens more and more often. I think it's very beneficial. But, yeah, we have a couple more seconds, a little less than a minute until the end of this episode. It was a really insightful one this time. I had a really fun time explaining what was my perspective and what was yours. It was really interesting to hear what was your point of view. But, yeah, pretty much it sums up the purpose and the intent behind Cineplex Studios is, which I think, again, is very, very honorable and noble. And I thank you again for all that you've done for me, Fred. And,
oh, you're welcome.
Yes, on that note, we'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good night, Fred.
Talk to you then. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.